America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
When the Santa's hell. Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Contra, the podcast of AmericanPartisan.org, coming at you live from the guerrilla camp located deep in the heart of rural northern North Carolina. I, of course, am the best-selling author of The Guerrilla's Guide to the Baofeng Radio, The Guerrilla's Guide to Signals Intelligence, and The Guerrilla Dispatch, Volumes 1 and 2, available on Amazon.com. The Guerrilla's Guide to the Baofeng Radio is currently still a number one bestseller for well over a year in its respective categories, and has stayed in Amazon's top 1,000, top 2,000 for much of that time. It's pretty incredible. Been a pretty incredible ride, the response that has been garnered to the books. And, you know, coming in here right now, of course, brushbeater.store, I have got all the night vision back in stock, with the exception of PVS-31s. I'm still waiting on a set of those. But everything else that we have currently in stock, including the Designate IRs, which is the hottest product in infrared lasers right now. I have a hard time keeping these on the shelves, and when I do get a batch of them in, I order them in large quantities. When I do get them in, they don't stick around very long. So if you've been meaning to upgrade your IR laser, or you've been meaning to get into that, hey, no time like the present. And we've got some very, very serious things coming down the pipe that we're going to be talking about. But since we're on the topic of IR lasers, there's something that I want to kind of get off my chest, and maybe at some point in the near future, I'll be diving into this really deep. But it's about the topic of IR lasers in general. I've seen some things currently, a few of the influencers bantering back and forth about these Chinese airsoft IR lasers. Look, folks, don't just walk away from that stuff. Run. All right. There are a number of pieces of equipment that maybe you could save a little bit of money here and there. You know, I certainly have some opinions on that. There are a lot of bargains to be had in equipment out there, but let me tell you something. One thing that you definitely don't want to skimp on, all right, the one thing that you definitely want to get, something that is proven, all right, that is absolutely combat proven, that is not quote unquote intended for airsoft weapons and whatnot, is an IR laser. All right, that's the one thing. Well, aside from night vision, because, you know, there's people that are out there hawking digital night vision too. You don't look. No, just no. Okay. For a lot of reasons, you know, analog night vision and IR lasers are what it is. IR laser is what you use to aim your weapon under NODs. All right. So when you're wearing a set of NODs or night operating devices, night vision, when you're wearing them on your face, on your head, you're moving under them, you're observing under them, you're aiming your weapon with that IR laser. Okay. That's really not the time that you want to find out that thing that you bought for, you know, intended for the airsoft audience, all of a sudden doesn't work. Okay. Or it doesn't zero properly, doesn't hold zero properly. Like, you know, I don't care how many people online might tell you, hey, this thing works, or this is good to go, or, you know, hey, I shot 1,000 rounds through my weapon. Look, folks, you don't know if any of that stuff is real, first of all. Second, you can't really call the company and say, hey, you know, my Auer laser isn't working anymore, when you need it in a gunfight. Okay, when you need it in a gunfight, and now all of a sudden it's not working. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of ways that you can save money on equipment in a wide variety of ways, right? There's everything from tactical nylon gear to, you know, to some of your daytime optics that are out there. There's a lot of good deals to be had. But an IR laser is that one thing in my mind that, you know, if I'm already running NODs and I use my IR laser to aim, because that's what you do, that's how you do that, you know, I really don't want to be rolling the dice and finding out in the middle of a firefight. Or you know, that's kind of dramatic. Let's just say, you know, you go to a night vision oriented class like my friend Kay has coming up this next weekend, who's, you know, combat studies group. He's going to be here. You know, we've got a night fighter course we're going to be doing. We're running more of those prospectively going on later into the year. But let's say that, you know, you get into that class and you spent $300 or $400 on that piece of junk. And now all of a sudden it's not working. You know, I mean, you know, I had somebody comment on that online saying, yeah, but those designated IRs are twice the price, bro. Yeah, well, you know, twice the price, buy once, cry once. I'd rather have something that works, you know, just me personally. I've been in a gunfight or two, or a few. And fortunately survived them. Okay, I've had to use a PEC 15 in combat. I have a PEC 15 now on a Sons of Liberty Gunworks 13.7 inch AR that I have, that I run suppress, and you know, I can go into that setup, kind of a modern gunfighter, guerrilla gunfighter setup. But you know, the designate IR that we offer through Brushbeater.store, which is made by US Night Vision, is the lowest profile that you can get at its price point. Wilcox offers one, the Mall, but you know, you're talking over $3,000. I think the last retail on that was getting close to $4,000. And I think that's outside the price point of what a lot of people can justify, even if they could afford it. When you have options that are American made, that are very, very good, that are on the market at half the price or even a third of the price. You know, the Designate IR is coming in at $895. That is a steal. And, you know, I originally found that because I was searching for a solid IR laser option to run on an AK, because there really aren't any. I mean, for everybody that's in the AK world out there, you know that running an IR laser is a little kludgy on them. You know, it's a bit of a challenge. And so having something that has a really low profile becomes a huge advantage. You know, it doesn't impede the view. You know, it sits so low that the way that I have my AK set up, my preferred AK setup for doing all the things, right, is an Ultimac. I do have one with an SLR Gunworks rail on it as well. It replaces the gas tube. Very similar design, very effective design. And that sits very low, and I put a mini red dot on that because that's where the AK is, I think, functions best. The AK can get very heavy in a hurry. It's already just bare naked, you know, no optics or anything on it. Loaded, it's about 8 pounds, between eight and eight and a half pounds, depending on the country of manufacture and, you know, what magazine you're running and what stock you've got on it and handguards on it, stuff, right? It's between 8 and 8.5 pounds. You start throwing optics and enablers on there, like IR lasers, tack lights, so on and so forth. You're adding a ton of weight in a hurry. And it might be fine on the square range, but as soon as you, you know, you go to do anything realistic with it where there's movement involved too, you know, it those pounds become painful in a hurry, in a real hurry. So, you know, I like to keep it as light as possible. I run a mini red dot on it for the 7.62x39. You know, within 300 meters, you're good to go. That's just that. But running an IR laser out in front, because I love, you know, using that C grip. You know, we extend the support arm out, and I like to be able to index that laser. And the designate IR, just like Pet 15, has the trigger button right on the top. So, you know, I index it with my thumb of my support hand, and I can totally run both the IR laser and my mini red dot when I'm running that designate IR on an AK. And it's so ultra low profile that, you know, it's not impeding the view of my red dot, which is impossible to do with any other red dot or IR laser, rather. Out there on the market, with the exception of the Maul, right? I said earlier it was Wilcox. Wilcox does not make the Maul. It's B.E. Myers. I misspoke. Speaking off the cuff here, but anyhow, I just wanted to spell that because there's a lot of Chinese knockoffs of stuff that's, you know, intended really for the airsoft market. And if, you know, you're an airsofter and like, that's your thing, man, that's your jam, cool, whatever. You do whatever you want. But just understand that that's, you know, kind of falls into the gun game category there. I'm not big on the airsoft world. I don't want to get into that conversation. Anyway, it's you know, it... Some people claim it has its place. Maybe it does. I strongly disagree. But maybe to some of you out there, it does. And it at least gets you out from behind a computer screen or a TV screen, or you put down your phone for 5 minutes. And so maybe that has value. I don't know. But anyway, you can find all the gear up at brushbeater.store along with the training calendar, since we're kind of veering off into the training category. You can go check that out over there as well. The Scout course is filling up the dates that I have on the calendar, the one coming up in September out in Missouri. That one is about 50% capacity already. So, and that's very crazy because we're early in the year. So I'm telling you now, if you want to get in on the Scout course and you are west of the Mississippi, that's it. Okay, that's it for 2024. So you need to get in on that class. And that's pretty much the long and short of it. Do have a date in Oklahoma in 2025 that we have put together. And we have a very good training site that we have put together for that too. I'm real excited, but, you know, still we're a year out from then. A lot changes in a year's time, and, you know, for good and bad, but that one is definitely going to be on the calendar, so you can look forward to that out there. And again, we are a year out. Of course, Scout course, Recce course, October here in North Carolina. Those two dates are about a third of the way full, and again, we're still way out on the calendar from that. But, you know, if you are looking at getting some of the best small unit tactics training available to civilians out there, that's not an opinion. All right. You can read the reviews on the courses. They are up on brushbeater.org, and that'll tell you. All right, in a very tough, challenging environment that you'll be moving around in, and about as realistic as it's going to get for y'all out there, for a lot of you, using blanks. And you're going to get the nuts and bolts of ambushes, of raids, of small unit tactics, of working as a team. And, you know, you're going to be hot. You're going to be tired. You are going to be sore. You're going to be all the things. But at the end of that class, I promise you, you're going to be a better person for taking it. Anyway, you can find all that up at brushbeater.store. So there are a number of things that are going on that we need to cover in this episode. Of course, yesterday's episode, I'm trying to keep up with the current events because there's a large number of things that I'm tracking from my end and news that's happening pretty quick. It looks like in Cuba, things are not slowing down there. According to my contacts, they are losing power between every 3 and 4 hours, which is pretty serious. Their situation is getting a little concerning. And that's the thing, is that whenever, you know, one of those sweat MC, this is what I talked about yesterday, sweat MC, sewer, water, electricity, access, transportation, medical care, and communications. When you disrupt any of those things, those are the pillars of stability for a place. And when you disrupt any one of those things, that's when you're going to see civil unrest begin quick, fast, and in a hurry. And when a government cannot provide those to its citizens, it's got trouble on its hands. You know, what I didn't say, the point that I was trying to make yesterday and never quite got there, is that Cuba is really the linchpin to Chinese and Russian aims in the Western Hemisphere. And that if the United States government was actually concerned about mitigating the influence of those two enemy nations in the world, they would begin there. They would focus on Cuba because the Soviet Union focused on Cuba first in an effort to build a beachhead for international Marxism in the Western Hemisphere. That was why it was so important. That was why it was critical when it all changed. They attempted to do this very early in Mexico, on the heels of the Mexican Revolution, the Zapatistas. They thought that they could do that. And this is the reason that Trotsky went to Mexico. In fact, a lot of people don't know that. Trotsky was exiled from the Soviet Union by Stalin and ended up in Mexico. And, of course, he was killed in Mexico. Died under suspicious circumstances. He was poisoned. It's his... pretty much what the Russians do. That is their MO that they have followed over the years. But they attempted it with the Zapatistas. It failed. It was a cultural failure because the left wing in Mexico wanted agrarian reform, but they were not really down with the communism aspect. And it failed for that reason. There were a number of other cultural reasons why it failed, and continues to do so, by the way. The Zapatistas never really went away. But in Cuba, it did. It did succeed. And the Cuban revolutionaries, when the attack on the Moncada barracks failed, they actually fled to Mexico. So the Castro brothers... a lot of the leadership cadre of the 26th of July movement, who weren't all communists, by the way. In the beginning, they weren't all communists. And even at the end of the Cuban Revolution, many of them were not communists. And the ones who weren't communists were quickly killed off or fled the country out of fear for their lives as Castro consolidated power. It's kind of an interesting story. There were a number of Americans that were involved in that. Henry Morgan, William Morgan, rather, not Henry Morgan. Henry Morgan was the actor in MASH. But William Morgan was a U.S. Army deserter and became one of the leaders of the Cuban Revolution. Kind of an interesting guy for a lot of wrong reasons, but became a very effective military commander nonetheless. Frank Sturgis, one of the Watergate burglars, who had a very colorful life as well. He actually taught himself to fly, bought a Mitchell bomber, and as many surplus U.S. government arms as he could, M1 Garands, M1 Carbines, and, 1911s, Thompsons, everything that he could scrounge up, and brought them to the Cuban revolutionaries. He in turn became the head of the Cuban Air Force in the very closing days, or very beginning days, rather, of the Cuban Revolutionary Government. And he ended up fleeing and coming back to the United States after Camilo Cienfuegos was killed, or disappeared, I should say. His flight disappeared, and it remains a mystery, although it's kind of an open secret what happened to him. But anyway... The point is, though, is that, the Soviet Union and now China utilize Cuba as a beachhead into the Western Hemisphere, kind of to thumb its nose at what it calls Yankee imperialism. No doubt the Monroe Doctrine is the center of that. And it's long been my assertion that not only is there not a more deserving populace out there of freedom, because they have truly suffered under the heels of communism, being the Cuban people, but they also would be the natural strongest allies to the United States. And that would serve as a beachhead to counter the communist incursion into the United States, and it would be a very strong one. But there's been a tragic litany of missed opportunities there. I think that unfortunately this is going to be yet another one, because the administration is not behind it. They would rather continue their grift in Ukraine. They would rather continue their money laundering operations elsewhere. And we're kind of in the looting phase of Rome, where the Roman leadership was so impotent and so self-absorbed in literally looting the country that they did not realize that they had no country left. And that's where we are. We're quickly entering that time. And, on that note, that's going to lead us into what we're talking about in this episode, some of the big stories that are out there. The first one, this one kind of flew under the radar for a lot of people, but it's a very serious one. I see it as a very serious one, and I don't think that there's a better example of the dual system of justice right now. We have Peter Navarro, who has reported to prison today for very, very, very incredibly minor charges, but nevertheless was sentenced to, he's a felon now, so he can't vote, so taking voters off of, and people of influence out of the eligible voter pool here, but they want to bring illegals in, right? But also, they are prosecuting these very trivial cases on one side, yet ignoring major ones on the other. They want you to completely forget that in one breath they say that the Chinese communists and the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, the Russian Federation, is the mortal enemy of the United States. But in that same breath, they want you to forget how just how much business our political elites have done there and have continued to do there, especially with China. They want you to forget that Joe Biden, the big man himself, has profited in tens of millions of dollars from the Chinese Communist Party through his crackhead son. They don't want you to know that. And then, of course, you'll have the liars on the left, the American left, the kleptocracy, who'll say, yeah, but he was never charged with that. See, he's not a criminal because he was never charged. Right. That's the argument that they're going to default to. Well, they're not a criminal because he was never charged. Well, who has the power to charge him? Well, see, but if they were a criminal, they would be charged, right? Because we live in a nation of laws. And yet they will turn around and they will charge people with the most minor of infractions, people of influence with the most minor of infractions, to take them off the table. And that is exactly what is happening in this story right here. This is breaking news. The Department of Justice has charged conservative influencer Isabella DeLuca for touching a table that came out of the Capitol during January 6th. Let me say it again. Touching a table that came out of the Capitol on January 6th. She was arrested 3 days ago and specifically charged with five counts, which include theft of government property and aiding and abetting theft of government property, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a government building. She's a prominent conservative influencer on Twitter, probably other platforms as well. Most familiar with Twitter, however. They no doubt have targeted this young lady because she has a massive following. She has a heck of a lot of reach. Now, I want to state something up front. January 6th was a trap that a lot of people willingly walked into. I stated it over and over and over again. I talked about this yesterday. When there is no tangible goal, it is something to be avoided. Okay, the left is given free rein to riot, to burn, to destroy property because they have a tangible goal in mind. And they also have overhead protection. The system wills it. You have to understand that. Going up to January 6th, can anybody point to me what the tangible goal going up there was going to be? I still don't have one. Yeah, but we're all going to go. Okay. And this is what it got you. This is what it got you. And this is yet again someone who was doing a lot of good and still will do a lot of good. These charges are, you know, they are what they are. They are designed to keep this young lady hamstrung. Now they have the ability to put a gag order on her. She can't, you know, there's things she won't be able to post. There's stuff she can't talk about, right? This is somebody who is an influencer, okay? Now, you can think about that however you want, one way or the other, you know, positive, negative, whatever. I'm not much on necessarily a lot of your political influencers or the gun influencers, you know, whatever, right? They get their marching orders from somewhere. I understand that, okay? I get it. But the point is that these are people who are functioning as another arm of the press. You have favorable press, you have unfavorable press, right? You have propaganda, all types of press, all forms of press, types of propaganda, right? We know that, okay? And if you didn't know that, you're a sucker. But it's true. Even this show, okay? You know, but at least I'm honest about it. I mean, come on. You know, it's Radio Contra. We're anti-communist. Where does Contra come from? Contra Revolution, right? But the point is that they want her to shut up. And they're going to go after all the other ones, too. They'll come after me. They're going to come after everybody because they can. This is what they're going to do. This is my comments on it. They want you scared, quiet, and complicit. And if they can't get that, then they want you dead. William Cooper. William Cooper. They killed him. You have to be more dangerous, folks. That means training. Now, it could be, training. You just go to the range. You get into an apple seed, minimal cost, right? Big fan of that. I think the apple seed program is great, especially for kids, especially getting kids into it. Nothing but respect for that. But you have to be more dangerous. You have to figure out where you are today, and you have to figure out how to make yourself more dangerous. Wherever I am, wherever my benchmark is, how do I get to that next echelon? Because I'm telling you, when I was overseas, especially in Iraq, Afghanistan, I've got some stories about that from Afghanistan, but it was a different animal. But in Iraq, you were always being watched. Always being watched. In an urban environment in Iraq, you always have the eyes on you. Right? And, I'm not trying to start a fight here with anybody in particular, but there are certain, job categories in the Army that are not as hardcore trigger puller as others, okay? And because you're always being watched, they know too, your enemy is sizing you up, and they're not gonna pick a fight with the guy who looks like they're gonna give them the fight of their life, and they might lose. They're gonna wait for the soft target. They're gonna wait for the one who, this group right here, we can take them, right? Because that's, when they win a gunfight like that, the damage from that is magnitude. Magnified, tenfold. Because, man, they shot some Americans. Holy crap. These dudes with shot out AKs and, rusty old steel case ammo, man. They killed some Americans. We got all the finest equipment and nicest gear, all the stuff. And so, a lot of times when those support MOSs, support troops would go out to do different things, my second deployment, we had a group of National Guard that came out that were originally supposed to be providing security for the FOB because, there was a lot going on, and we were stretched very, very thin on this patrol base we were living on. So theirs was partly a security mission. And then it was also to work with the Iraqi police. And so when they would go out and, we weren't with them because we were doing other stuff. When you've got troops that are out there who are carrying their M4s by the barrel. I shit you not. Carrying their M4 by the barrel. They had one soldier that was doing that. And that's a failure on their leadership. Because I can tell you that no soldier in my battalion, in my brigade, who had got caught doing that. No, you're done, but anyway, and again, I'm not trying to denigrate anybody or National Guard or anything. No, this is just what I saw, and I'm not saying who they were or what they were doing, what state they were from, right? But we already had had, we'd already butted heads with them over some things. And so we were expressly banned from even talking to them. So it was like, all right, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So it was a very toxic relationship that, that we had back and forth. Well, because they had that lackadaisical attitude that when they were going out repeatedly, and, you know, several of their leaders were female, by the way, you know, it, look, it's a fact, okay? That's a fact. It happened. It's a fact. They went out, they got attacked, and they got hit with two RKG-3 hand grenades. So RKG-3 is like a like the German potato masher hand grenade, but it's an anti-tank hand grenade. So they had two of those thrown at them, and both of them detonated. Fortunately, they didn't have any casualties that I remember. I think like somebody might have taken some shrapnel or something, but it was light, whatever it was. But they didn't have any like major casualties. But they didn't get a shot off. They didn't get distance, direction, description. They didn't get really anything. And so you've got a whole detachment of troops. I think it was like 14 or 15 of them out there, plus their platoon leader, plus their company commander. And they got nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, the Iraqi insurgents, part of Al-Naqshbandi that were operating in Samarra at the time, they were watching. They knew these clowns right here, you know, carrying a rifle by the barrel and, you know, not looking like, you know, you're a hard ass out there, you know, meat eating killer, ready to you know, extinguish somebody's entire bloodline if you come and screw with me, you know. When you look like that, when you don't look like that, rather, when you look like what they look like, unprofessional, sloppy, you know, not really taking anything serious, you know, not certainly not dangerous, you know, that's what happens. Those are the results that you yield. And so when I say be more dangerous, I look at the entire world like that. You know, Cat Williams, for example, comedian Cat Williams, I think probably everybody's familiar with him. Cat Williams was talking about, you know, his cousin getting out of prison, you know, and it's like, man, he's hard at breakfast. Yeah, and I mean, I'll never forget hearing that. And, you know, that was kind of the running joke was that, you know, we all were like that. You know, when that came out, we were all like that. Because that's kind of how you have to be, you know, and you have to be more dangerous. You have to make yourself more dangerous. You have to figure out how to be more dangerous because I'm telling you, the eyes are on you, all right? The eyes are on you. The eyes are on all of us. They got it. They have all the ways, okay? When we talk about securing yourself better online, patterns of life, all those things that you've heard me talk about, that you've heard Kay talk about from Combat Studies Group, hopefully you've heard some other people talk about as well. And you sit there and you scratch your head and you're like, man, what? But I want the convenience of my iPhone, or I want this, or I want that. Well, you know, you're sacrificing your freedom at that point for safety and security that is granted you via that convenience. That's what you're doing. You have to be more dangerous. You have to figure that out. And that's on many dimensions. I don't mean just, you know, hey, let's go out here and shoot 1,000 rounds every day or whatever. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, you need to be figuring out how to get yourself in better shape, how to be a jack of all trades, figure out more skills, figure out how you can become a threat, right? Because I'm telling you, it's going to make a difference, right? And even if you can't necessarily master all those things, there's a lot of things that you know, I'm just never going to be good at, all right? I'm never going to be good at, and that's fine, man. Computer programming is one of them. I'm never going to be good at that. I can cut and paste a little bit of code here and there. But if you ask me what all this stuff means, man, I don't know. I don't know. And I don't have the patience to learn. I can figure out other things, though. Figure out how you bring the most to the table. What skill sets you have and how to build those. How to master those. Bring those to the table. And you're probably sitting back and thinking, man, what does this all have to do with some, you know, conservative influencer or whatever getting in trouble? Because, again, as I've said before, I'm saying this again, if they're going to charge someone, they're looking for reasons, and they can do that with the most trivial of little things, being as pedantic as possible. The whole goal there is to bankrupt you with charges that they know you can't fight, and it's going to take everything that you have in order to fight it. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing right here. So, speaking of, the next story in the roundup here, coming from General Flynn. And General Flynn has a documentary out now that he has done. And he did an interview with Benny Johnson, who is another conservative commentator out there, podcast host, and did an interview with it. And, you know, General Flynn gave a pretty good interview here. You'll be able to find this on AmericanPartisan.org. But talking about working within the Trump administration, he obviously did previously. The machine came after him for doing his job, by the way. There was nothing unlawful or illegal about anything that he did. But they came after him nonetheless. And, you know, I've got a story about that that I may disclose at a certain point in time. But I will decline to do so now about what I know about that case. But a possible second role in the Trump administration, should Trump be reelected. I've got my thoughts on that. But he responded with only under one condition that I can actually accomplish what needs to be accomplished with government reform. And so, you know, you need to understand something that when he's speaking here, and he elaborated further on it from there, but government reform, you got to understand that these people in government, right, especially in the intelligence industrial complex, right? We're all familiar with the military industrial complex. There's absolutely an intelligence industrial complex, has been for a very long period of time. It didn't begin with Alan Dulles, but Alan Dulles certainly didn't help things. And now it is under full on socialist control. But what he means by that is going after these people in that industrial complex of the intelligence community. Flynn said it when he went on with Patrick Bet-David and Valuetainment on the PBD podcast, which is pretty well done. I do enjoy Patrick's work quite a bit, and I think he's an incredible patriot. He also was an 11 Bravo in the 101st. A lot of people don't know that. He is the co-owner of the New York Yankees now, but he was an 11 Bravo. He was a Joe in the 101st at Fort Campbell. It's a little interesting tidbit about Patrick Bet-David, the Armenian who is really, really, I think, an awesome example of great Armenians in America. But anyway, when he did the interview with Flynn, with General Flynn, General Flynn said, you know, hey, he explicitly said, I know where the bodies are buried. So you could take that a number of ways, you know. Using the legal system, I think, is kind of a moot point. You know, we know that the legal system in America is deeply compromised. We're going to be talking about that in the next story here in the shoot. But, you know, we're deeply, deeply compromised. And so, you know, I will say that General Flynn is one of the most intelligent men in that circle, in the general officer circle. There's a number that are up there, flag officers who are very intelligent. Some who are book smart and street stupid. Most of them are. I would say that General Flynn is a good bit of both, of street smart and book smart. You know, he led to a large number of intelligence reforms in the intelligence community and the process of how we foster intelligence, how we create products. And, you know, a lot of that's reflected in my book, The Guerrilla's Guide to Signals Intelligence. I explain that process of F3EAD and, you know, basically how the game was changed and what that process looks like, you know, since my time when I was learning all these things. All right, obviously in the U.S. Army. But, you know, when Flynn is saying these kinds of things, you know, this is the public conversation that's being had. And I don't want you to read too much into this, but there's a reason that he's out there right now. You have to understand that when the machine went after Flynn, they took everything from him. Literally took everything from him. They tried to throw him in prison. They came after his kids, who were Army officers. One of which during all of that was an ROTC cadet. They came after them. The machine came after them. You know, with their attack dogs. You know, one of those examples I saw firsthand. And, you know, I'll say this, there's a lot of conversations that I've seen where people are like, man, you know, I mean, we were told with Mattis, we were told with, you know, some of these other leaders that were in there that they were going to do all this good and it didn't happen and, you know, everything. But I'm telling you, Flynn, if there are any one of them who are real, it's him. It is him. So I don't know what role in his administration it will likely be. I don't want to speculate on it. I don't think that he will be a running mate. But he's going to have a very serious position, in there. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what role, Mike Pompeo is playing in the behind the scenes with the Trump administration going into the election this year. It's going to be interesting. Pompeo has been completely out of the limelight, by the way. Nobody's seen him for a while. I mean, he popped back up. He obviously was attempting to look more presidential. Take that for what it's worth. He claims he didn't get gastric bypass. He claims he was, you know, he hit the treadmill. I don't know. That's a lot of weight loss in a short amount of time. But, you know, anyway, it doesn't matter. But he good on him, though. I mean, if he's getting healthy, good on him. But it's just interesting. It's interesting. Pompeo is I think, a complicated character. One who kind of straddles both sides of the fence, definitely hedges his bets between, you know, the neocon deep state and the Trump administration, this upcoming brand of Republican populism, which is taking hold of the party. So we're going to see where this goes. But my assertion is on all of that, you know, the problems with government are not going to be fixed through the legal system. Okay. They're not going to be fixed through the legal system. Now, you take that for what it's worth, but at some point there's going to have to be the foot placed on the ground saying no, no more. This insanity has got to stop. And it is insanity like this next story, which has broken. As I said, a lot of big things have popped up here that just have to be discussed. It's just too big to ignore. But it is this one that broke yesterday. Federal judge, Obama-appointed federal district court judge Sharon Johnson Coleman has ruled that illegals have the right to bear arms. That's right. Illegals have the right to bear arms. Let's talk about the facts of the case here. Illegals have a right to carry weapons. You have to wonder why a federal judge who is an Obama appointee, no doubt anti-Second Amendment, no doubt anti-gun, why she would make a ruling in this manner. Why they would do that. And so here, this is coming from NTD.com, a news site that I'm not particularly familiar with, but the article is by Zachary Stiber, and it is dated yesterday, March 18th. Today is March 19th, 2024. But an illegal immigrant was wrongly banned from possessing guns, according to a recent ruling. A federal law, 18 U.S. Code, Section 922, bars illegal immigrants from carrying guns or ammunition. Prosecutors charge Jabarito Carbal Flores, an illegal alien, in 2020 after he was found in Chicago carrying a semi-automatic pistol despite knowing he was an illegal alien and lawfully in the United States. U.S. District Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman, rather, rejected two motions to dismiss, but the third motion, based on a 2022 Supreme Court ruling, triggered the dismissal of the case on March 8th. The non-citizen possession statute violates the Second Amendment as applied to Carbajal Flores, Judge Coleman, appointed under President Barack Obama, wrote in her 8-page ruling. Thus, court grants Carbajal Flores' motion to dismiss. All right. So, there's been a lot of conversation online, a little bit of vociferous debate. You have the libertarian absolutists out there, the rainbow cake and ice cream unicorn crowd, you know, everything is awesome. Those types who say, well, everybody has a right to be armed. Yeah. All right. So let's pause it real quick. So understand a couple of things. First of all, this case is in Chicago. Chicago has the most restrictive gun laws in the United States, even more so than California, by the way. They have Chicago, and specifically Cook County, has the most restrictive gun laws in the United States. This judge is a political appointee based on her career in said district, militantly anti-gun, and yet she is ruling that an illegal can be armed. Why is she doing that? Why would such a person haplessly rule against you, American citizen, from being armed, and yet someone who is in this country, an invader in this country, why can they be armed? What sense does that make? Does that make any sense to you? Now, to the libertarian absolutists whose only answer is, well, everybody has a right to be armed. But everybody has a right to be armed. That might be true in the country that they come from. But you're in the United States. You are an invader here illegally. American citizens have rights before the law. not invaders. Period. End of story. And any other argument to the contrary is completely ignorant of fact or legal basis. So I ask you again, why would they rule in this manner? Why would an Obama-appointed federal district judge who came up in the judiciary of the Chicago political machine, which has long been noted for its hideous levels of corruption, why would the court rule in this manner? Because it was ordered to. Because it was told to. Because this judge was given her marching orders. This is what she is there to do. Do you want to know why? Because in Illinois, they want to hire illegals to be law enforcement. And they want to do this in California as well. Most notably, the LAPD recently decided it was going to begin a hiring initiative among undocumented immigrants in the United States. This is precisely why they needed a federal court ruling to allow illegals to carry firearms, because illegals cannot possess or brandish weapons under this very same federal law, 18 U.S.C. section 922, and they cannot therefore serve in law enforcement. They want illegals to become police. Do you understand what I am telling you? They want illegals to become law enforcement. They have no allegiance to the United States. They have no allegiance to the Constitution. They have no allegiance, and they are in contempt of, blatant contempt of, the good people of the United States. You, the citizens. They're here to rob you. They're here to steal from you. Oh, and the best part is now they're going to make it all legal. And they're going to allow them to be armed. That's what this ruling is all about. And if you think otherwise, I've got beachfront property to sell you in Nevada. Folks, this is yet another ratcheting up, another escalation in the larger plan that they have here. If you don't see this for what it is, the illegals coming across the border are an invading army. You have to have a legal basis, just like the Warren Zevon song, Lawyers, Guns, and Money, right? That's what you need to fight a war. Lawyers, guns, and money. And guess what? They're going to make it all perfectly legal before they kick off the festivities. And they're going to point those guns at you and I. You better get more dangerous, folks. You better get out there. You better get some training. If you don't get it from me, I hope you get it from somewhere. Brushbeater.store, all the things that you need to be more solid. Night vision, IR lasers, thermal. We've got, I'm having a hard time keeping a lot of thermal in stock. The good news is, though, is that I've got a steady supply of things coming back in. The end of this month, so literally 1 week from today, we should be getting Stingers back in stock. The Sting IRs, both 384 and 640, should be getting those back in stock. I was literally on the phone with AGM today, and we've got some, I've got some exciting other products that we discussed that I'm going to be bringing out too. The Clarion 640 AGM. I've got a couple of those on the shelf right now. I'm telling you, you want to talk about a Starlight scope? You know, we talked about Starlight scopes earlier in Vietnam and, you know, XM21 and all that. The ability to fight at night, Admiral Waldron III, and sniping, and, you know, how effective you can be at night. And really, that's where a lot of the stuff happens. hey, this Clarion 640, I've got a 384 as well, but the 640, this is the nicest optic that I've ever used. Hands down. Seeing really is believing. And so if you are coming to the Night Fighter course that Kay is running through Combat Studies Group at my place this upcoming weekend, he's going to be there. You're going to get some hands-on, some trigger time with that. I'm really excited for people to be checking it out. I am absolutely blown away by it. Of course, the Rattler clip-ons, always excellent. I've got a couple of 384 units in stock right now, the TC35 384. We're going to have some of the 640s that are going to be here either tomorrow or going into the end of the week, but they will be in stock as well. Of course, the 256s, also really incredible price point on those. If you're on kind of a tight budget, that is definitely a big step up on those. Night vision, got a lot of night vision in, got dual tubes, got single tubes, I've got Gen 2, I've got Gen 3, you know, everything that you need to be more capable than you are right now. We've got it all in stock, of course, all your communications products, and a heck of a lot more. Brushbeater.store. With that said, folks, God bless. Get out there. Get after it. It's springtime. You need to be outdoors. You need to be figuring out how to get yourself more better for the fight that is coming. And I'll talk to you again very, very soon. This is NC Scout out.